So today's message is entitled Seek Ye First. Seek Ye First. 6th of March 2022, and the world is upside down again. So we're going to start with a reading from Matthew 6, verses 27 to 34. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Or even a single cubit to his height? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Now if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, well, what shall we eat and what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. And lo and behold, we see that it has more than enough trouble of its own, just like Jesus said. Actually, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say more than enough trouble. He said enough trouble. And there's a subtle difference. Enough is enough. It'll never be too much. Not allowed. Now, it's difficult looking at the news and wondering what you or I would do if we were invaded like our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. The way they're suffering right now, what would we do? I know that wars and rumours of war is not a new thing. Invaders, battles, wars, etc. have gone on almost ceaselessly since Cain killed his brother Abel in Genesis. And the reasons are more or less the same now as they were then. Someone else has got what we want. Someone else has got what you want. From James 4, 1 to 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You kill and you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Of course, if you don't have a speaking relationship with God in the first place, you're hardly going to sit or kneel before God and have a chat about your needs and your wants. Because you're not on talking terms, are you? It's difficult to imagine right now Vladimir Putin on his knees talking to our Father in heaven in Jesus' name. It's easy for me to see him falling to his knees before Jesus for an entirely different reason, that of submission, that of admission that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, God of Gods. You know, and I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that. The problem with being human is that we are vulnerable to the things that humans are tempted by. And if we have no greater reference, no stronger guidelines, no fear of God, then we could possibly be in the same place as Putin, given the same power and the same opportunity. You've heard the saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Now, interestingly, you might find this interesting. You should find this interesting. According to some reports, Vladimir Putin was secretly baptized as a child. A report in the Irish Times more than 20 years ago says that Putin declared himself, "When I was a few months old, my mum and her neighbour in the command apartment where we lived took me to church without telling my father, for he was a Communist Party member, and baptised me. This was my first visit to church, and, as you understand, it is difficult for me to remember," he said. Now, Putin's father, who worked for the NKVD, which is the predecessor of the KGB, was an atheist. But his mother was apparently a devoted Christian and raised Vladimir in the faith. Vladimir worked as a KGB foreign intelligence officer for 16 years and rose to the rank of lieutenant colonel. And for those who are not sure what the KGB is, it was responsible, it's defunct now, called something else, it was responsible for foreign intelligence, domestic counterintelligence, technical intelligence, protection of the political leadership, and the security of the Soviet Union's frontiers. Now, Putin himself has said that he became a practicing Orthodox Christian in 1993, at the age of 41. He openly supports the church in Russia, even using the instruments of government to promote it. You can find plenty of photos on the internet of Putin attending church services, kissing Bibles, and bowing before the leaders of the Russian Orthodox Church. I've heard that if Putin conquers Ukraine, the Russian Orthodox Church will be the only legal Christian church stroke denomination permitted in that country. So, for now, it seems that Putin is acting like Cain and is succumbing to the promises made by our enemy, Satan. We know that Cain killed his brother Abel, don't we? Because of anger, hatred, jealousy. You've got what I want. This is how I get it. Although these offers were made to Jesus, I guess if the cap fits, as they say, one might be tempted to believe that all the splendor of the world could in fact be Putin's one day, along with all his very expensive luxury yachts and villas, etc. And this is what I'm talking about. In Matthew 4, 8 to 9, this is where Jesus encounters Satan. "Again, the devil took him," Jesus, "to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And Satan said, 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.'" Of course, not many of us would fall for that one, would we? Since unless you're possessed, deranged, mentally ill, the thought of possessing all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor is actually beyond comprehension, beyond credibility. However, just as Jesus did all that his father asked, remember, it remains to be revealed what would happen on earth if someone was prepared to do all that Satan asks. Have you ever thought about that? From John 8, 49 to 50, Jesus retorts, "I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Who's seeking the glory then? Is it Jesus? Is it not Jesus? Or is it his Father in heaven? The ultimate way that Jesus was exalted on earth, the ultimate way, was that he was held up high on a cross with nails. That's how the earth, the world, exalted him. He was held there with the nails and love for us and love for his Father through obedience, holding him in that place until he gave everything that he could give for each one of us here. Now it seems to me that if you don't belong to the same Father as Jesus does, you most likely belong to the alternative. And Jesus wasn't afraid to tell it as it is. He didn't pull any punches regarding telling the truth, did he? Sometimes he had to appear cruel to be kind, and his diplomacy through necessity sometimes came second to telling the truth. So would you ever be so direct as this? In John 8:44-45, Jesus says, "You," talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, "you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning," like a bit like Cain, not holding to the truth, "for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. But if I was to lie to you..." Now, I have to say that it is perfectly clear to me that Vladimir Putin has lied about many things. And he clearly lied about the invasion of Ukraine, both before and after and during. And although there is a war between Ukraine and the invading Russians, Putin has said that anyone in Russia calling it a war is liable to 15 years imprisonment. And because he is a dictator, that, or even worse, is very likely to happen. Because people disappear in Russia. Therefore, his rule is one of fear, which threatens what little freedom the average Russian citizen has. Especially, I suppose, access to the truth of what is going on in Ukraine. But I ask you this question: how often have we been lied to by our government? The only difference is that we can moan about it in public. We can go on social media. We can tell people about it. We can go down through London with placards. As long as we do it peacefully, we can complain. There's no point waiting for a perfect person to govern your country. He or she is bound to have some weakness, a human weakness, whether they are Christians, professing Christians, or whatever they are. They cannot be a righteous person in their own right. It is possible to receive imputed righteousness, however. We know that. In Romans 3, verses 22-24, we talk about righteousness. And Paul says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all, to everyone who believes. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, put right with God, freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Yes, it's true that Jesus died on the cross for Vladimir Putin. The problem is Vladimir aware of his need for forgiveness? His need to be born again? Does he realize the danger in being confronted by Jesus and being told the following. From Matthew 7:23-27, referring to himself, Jesus says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." The rock being Jesus. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, whether it's about to happen soon, this year, next year, or whenever, one thing you can depend on is this: Vladimir's kingdom is destined to fall. It will fall. If the king is not Jesus, then whatever kingdom it is cannot stand indefinitely in the presence of God. It will fall. It's only a matter of time. In Romans 14:11-12 we read, "It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God." That was from Isaiah 45:23. "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." So Vladimir Putin, which kingdom is he seeking? His own kingdom or the kingdom of God? So far, it's looking very much like the power has gone to his head, along with his untold fortunes. And from whence they came, no one knows. But you could speculate, I guess, couldn't you? Either way, whether by fair means or foul, he is storing up treasure on earth for himself and those who serve him. The problem is, of course, that one way or another, he, like the rest of us, is running out of time. And like the Egyptians, somehow believes he can hang on to it along with his position as president. It's funny, isn't it, how educated people like the Egyptians thought that they could take stuff with them into the afterlife. Wealth, food, slave, pets, etc. Even to the point where those living had to be killed or allowed to die alongside the pharaohs entombed in the pyramids. "I'm not letting go of this, I'm taking it with me. And you will give your life to make sure that I do." A bit like Islamic suicide bombers, hoping for instant paradise for committing Islamic jihad. The men are promised 72 virgins, but I don't know what the deal is for women. I think it's down to the individual imam who's teaching you, according to internet sources. It's quite an interesting thing, that. Look at the variations in what you get in paradise as an Islamic bomber. Interesting variations depending on who's telling you. So Matthew 6:19-21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we need to ask ourselves this question: where is our treasure? Where is your treasure? If you can see it, it's probably either growing old, wearing out, decaying, going rusty, losing value, going out of fashion, or leaving home. It is, in effect, passing away, just like we are. It is temporal. It's temporal. It's a temporary thing. Now, this following scripture is thought by scholars to be a result of Paul believing that Christ's return was imminent. Imminent. The quote, "They think it's all over," comes to mind. You know, one at the football thing. They think it's all, it is now. But the reality is that we are much closer now than we ever were before, without a shadow of a doubt. And the signs in the heavens and the earth have never come together like they are doing now. And if this isn't the beginning of birth pains leading to the rapture and the return of Christ, then I don't know what is. Paul said to the Corinthian church, expecting Christ was going to return soon, in 1 Corinthians 7, 27 to 31, he asked the question, "Are you married? Then don't seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it was not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away." I would imagine that the men left behind in Ukraine to fight know exactly what that means. Remember, it's the love of money or mammon that is the root of all evil. But to love Jesus is totally acceptable. It's totally acceptable, and it pleases God, because Jesus is the revelation of the Father's glory. He is the physical revelation of the invisible God. Paul understood who Jesus was and is when he spoke to the Colossian church. In Colossians 1, 15 to 20, he made it clear that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Is he the head of every church denomination? Is he the head of every church that calls itself a church? Is he the head? Is he Vladimir Putin's head? Peter understands that even those who never met Jesus in the flesh, so to speak, can still love him and make him Lord of their lives and enjoy the prospect of salvation and entering into a kingdom where the king is a good and a righteous king. So Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. There is much talk about the Great Reset. Some of you will have heard this, the Great Reset. We've heard all about a cashless society. We've been talking about it for years and years and years, cashless society. We're nearly there. We've talked about a one world religion. We're nearly there. We talked about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, and that could happen very, very quickly with the right person in control. And therefore, we're also very, very close to the revelation of the Antichrist. But have you heard this projection by people in power and influence? Have you heard this quote? "You will own nothing and you will be happy." You will own nothing and you will be happy. Sounds like the kind of thing a communist kingdom might promise. Hand over everything to me and I'll share it out amongst you equally so that no one is rich and no one is poor. Sounds like a very idealistic proposition, doesn't it? Especially if you don't have much in the first place. If you're in debt, all your debts will be cancelled. Whereas if you are currently quite wealthy in this world, you might not like the idea of sharing your wealth with those who, in your opinion, don't deserve it. But I ask you this question as well. Doesn't that sound a little bit like heaven? You don't own anything. Everybody's happy. You've got everything you need. Your king is with you. No need to worry about anything. So, is this Satan's idea? Does he not want to try and imitate the kingdom of God, but a kingdom where he is the king? Isn't he trying to imitate lots of other God-ordained truths, such as in the kingdom of God, Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 to 28, "You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Can you hear the enemy using that? In Satan's kingdom, whether you now are male or female, well, that can be your choice. You decide. You can be what you want to be. You don't have to be binary. You don't have to be male or female. You can be something else if you want to be. Maybe there is no male and female after all. In his kingdom, no one should be excluded. All are children of God. All can be free if you conform to Satan's regulations. If ultimately you bow the knee to the devil and his system, no one will be poor because no one will own anything or be able to control anything. Your riches will be stored up not in this imaginary heaven, but on earth. In Satan's kingdom, everyone will be equal. Money will be a thing of the past. Read the small print. "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." We really need to get things in perspective, don't we? There is a priority clearly marked out for us. Jesus will look after us like a shepherd looks after his sheep until he takes us out of this world. And people are really ready for that. Christians are ready for that. In the meantime, we will have everything we need if we trust Jesus and his promises. But the first thing we need to do is what it said in Matthew 6, 33 to 34. And say it again. Jesus said, "Seek first." Priority number one, seek first his kingdom. Whose kingdom? God's kingdom, where Jesus is king. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And to find his kingdom, you have to find Jesus. And to find Jesus, you need to look hard. What do I mean by that? You need to look hard. You can't half-heartedly look for Jesus. You have to be dead set on it. You have to make your mind up you're going to find Jesus one way or another. You're going to find the truth because the truth will set you free. You can't half-heartedly look for Jesus. He's not half-heartedly looking for you. He's dead set on it. And other lost sheep all over the place. So this final word from God goes way back to before God scattered his people throughout the world and before the Holocaust and all that happened there, and it includes everyone, not just the Jews. In Deuteronomy 4:27-30, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, or other man-made gods, I might add to it, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. You will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. Not half-heartedly. You have to be dead set on it. And when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. It doesn't matter where you live, how much you have or you don't have, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're male, female, or you don't even know what gender you are, if you've realized you're a sinner in need of forgiveness, God is awaiting your call. God is awaiting your call and will be exceptionally pleased to accept it if you're seeking his son Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not because of what treasure may be stored up there, but because Jesus is there, and he should be your ultimate real treasure. Amen.